I think we are in an AI startup bubble, and that is okay. New startups are raising money at unusual valuations, which do not quite make sense. The products they want to build are in highly competitive areas, and the economics are daunting. Many of these guys are going to fail, and that is okay. This is the time to get messy. In this video, some unstructured thoughts about the bubble forming in AI startups. It's going to be okay in the end, but make no mistake, there is a bust ahead. I want to begin by noting that I am not an AI software expert, nor am I some well-connected venture capitalist. I just make videos. But I've been thinking about current trends, and there are a few things I notice. First, recent fundraisings for AI startups, particularly in late 2024, are being done at valuations that make it difficult to earn a realistic return on the investment. One startup that's in the process of raising money is the AI startup, Sierra, co-founded by former Salesforce co-CEO and current OpenAI board chairman, Brett Taylor. They're seeking a $4-plus billion valuation. Sierra is working on a conversational AI product. I have no comment on how well it works, but it does not seem like Sierra is making significant revenue right now, and there are several similar products in the field. If we are charitable and say $1 million in revenue, that is a 200x revenue multiple. Perplexity AI, the AI-powered search startup, is probably the most prominent of the current generation of LLM startups. Wall Street Journal and CNBC recently reported that they're trying to raise another $500 million at a valuation of $8 to $9 billion. Their recent revenue pace is somewhere like $50 million, so that equates to a price-to-revenue multiple of 160 to 180 times. In the same month, we have Poolside, an AI-powered software developer platform, raising $500 million at a $3 billion valuation. You get the picture. Wall Street Journal has run a few stories on this theme earlier in the year. In April 2024, they profiled an AI agent slash lab company called Imbue, which in September 2023 raised $200-plus million at a billion-dollar valuation without having any revenue. In August 2024, they reported the fundraising round for AI document search startup Glean. Glean raised $250 million and doubled their valuation from $2 billion to $4.5 billion in just 6 months. At that valuation, and with reported annualized revenue of $55 million, you get a multiple of around 82 times. Quite high, considering that OpenAI, which is valued at $157 billion and makes roughly $4 to $5 billion in annualized revenue, has a multiple of 42 times. These are high multiples, and yes, these companies are growing quite fast. But I wonder if the investors can ever make their money back from that. Optimistically speaking, these companies exit at something like $40 to $50 billion valuation, which is the current valuation of Atlassian, Snowflake, or Datadog. So, if the raise was at $4 billion, then that works out to an 8 to 10 times return, which sounds like a whole lot, but it takes on average 10 to 12 years for a SaaS company to hit the market, so that works out to an annual return of 18 to 25% a year. That is not super high, considering the risks involved. Also, I cannot help but notice the role and focus on AI quote-unquote celebrities and their pedigree in raising money for their startups. The Sierra fundraiser's high valuation and low revenue indicates that the funders are betting on the team, or essentially, the AI celebrity founder. Other examples of celebrity-driven fundraisers include the OpenAI alumni, so not only Ilya Sutskever with the startup Safe Superintelligence, but also former OpenAI CTO Mira Murati, who is raising money for her own startup, according to Reuters. And then there is World Labs, led by the famed Stanford professor Fei-Fei Li. They raised $100 million at a $1 billion valuation. I am reminded of something that happened during the streaming bubble just a few years ago. One hallmark of that era was a series of major streaming content deals signed with big-name producers like Ryan Murphy, Shonda Rhimes, or Greg Berlanti, or the J.J. Abrams production deal with Warner Brothers, signed in September 2019 and worth $250 million. The logic behind these nine-figure deals is that the producers can deliver a massive Game of Thrones-style hit for the streamers, driving huge subscriber growth. A few years later, the best thing we can say about these deals is that a few interesting hits came out of it, and the streamers that signed them did not go bankrupt. However, I do not think many of those deals would be renewed in current market conditions. That had been a bubble, and I think this is it again. I want to make clear, that I am not making a comment on the celebrity. If people offer the money and the opportunity, I don't begrudge them for taking it. And who knows? Maybe the AI celebrity attracts better talents, which leads to superior products, etc. Right, I get it. I just am suspicious that these celebrities and big names really are worth billion-dollar valuations. In fact, I find it somewhat difficult to see why so many of these startups deserve billion-dollar valuations at all. Many of these companies are making applications, and I think that is the right approach. But are the economics of such AI-powered applications indicative of billion-dollar businesses? First, on the cost side, an AI-powered app is more expensive to train and run than your traditional cloud app. I think most people have gone over those various issues. The more people use these applications, the more they cost the provider. At some point, the provider has to either dilute the quality of the service or pass on these costs to the users, the latter either via raising prices or restructuring to a per-use model. There is also a data cost issue. Some of these startups use expensive, very specialized labor to help train and evaluate their products, like how the legal AI firms have their own set of elite lawyers in-house. That can get expensive. So that is the cost. What about the revenue side? The basic first-level thinking with AI is that you can capture cost savings by replacing people's jobs. Essentially, you do not have to pay their salaries anymore. It is not clear to me that these AI agents can operate without having some human in the loop, and that is going to blunt any monetary gains that you might get, even in use cases like customer service, which I believe are pretty compelling. But suppose you replace the humans and take their salaries. What keeps other AI startups from coming in with a cheaper product that does a similar thing and taking your margin then? This leads me into the next thing. Even if someone in the industry produces a major achievement and breakthrough, the rest of the crowd will compete it away. OpenAI started off with a 2-year lead on the rest of the industry, and in terms of revenue, they're still going strong. But technology-wise, the lead is short. All their researchers talk with one another, have access to the same hardware, and follow similar industry precepts. New innovations like those introduced by the recent GPT-01 model are likely to be incorporated into competing products in just a few months. In fact, it feels like every AI product on the market, produced by either tech startup or giant, is about 6 months apart from one another. There are certain categories with an awful lot of venture-backed players in the water. Take the aforementioned AI coding assistant startup Poolside. Other VC-backed players in the coding assistant arena include Magic, Codium, Cognition/Devon, Augment, Tab9, all of which have raised over $100 million. And of course, the granddaddy of them all, GitHub Copilot. I am reminded of the hard disk drive boom and crashed. From 1977 to 1984, 43 different disk drive manufacturers raised $400 million from venture capitalists, with over half that coming in the last 2 years. The industry grew to some 70 firms, and as it turned out, these companies were all too similar to one another. The HDD ecosystem was too modular, and it was too easy for one company to pick up and replicate what the others were doing. And then when the PC market they depended on first pulled back in 1983 and 1984, many of the startups did not make it. Hard disk drives were still being made, still being sold into PCs, and still seeing major technical improvements. It was just that the gold rush ended. So yes, I feel like there is an AI startup bubble inflating. Yet, at the same time, I think that the AI investment boom and the benefits we stand to gain from it are real, just like with the HDD industry. Up in the megacap world, you have the largest, most profitable companies in the world, pouring billions of their profits into chips, land, computers, and power for building data centers. Joseph Politano of Appreciatus Economics points out that American companies are spending on data centers at a rate of $26 billion a year, up nearly 60% from last year. As Politano points out, this is as much America spends on retail stores and restaurants. And then there was TSMC's 3Q 2024 earnings report. They have insight on everyone's AI chip buying plans, and they said that they're seeing more demand that they, quote, ever dreamed about. I'll take their word for it. I am not sure where this investment spree is going to lead to. It might be only the beginning of a magnificent run in investment and spend that flows through the whole economy, a run that revolutionizes how we all work, brings prosperity across the classes, and creates a glorious future. Or not. Maybe it's just all pull forward, and the data center investments pause at stasis for 3 to 4 years, like after the COVID boom. In that case, it will be difficult, but not devastating. There has been a lot of attention paid to some of the really big booms and bubbles of history's past. Japanese real estate in the 1980s, telecom fiber in the 1990s, U.S. housing in the 2000s, and so on. People tend to remember these busts because they were particularly large and destructive to the larger economy. That is because, as my friend Doug O'Loughlin of Fabricated Knowledge pointed out, they involved high leverage. Amazon, Microsoft, and Google are funding these data center buildouts from their majestic monopoly profits. And until they start selling AI bonds to grandmas and their pension funds, I think the larger economy will ride out the AI startup bust just fine. And going back to the AI startup ecosystem, I think that these venture capitalist investors and their ilk will be fine too. They're sophisticated investors and they know what they're getting themselves into. They're savvy enough to engineer soft exits for their investments, even absent the normal acquisition golden parachute situation. I look at Inflection AI, which raised millions to build a chatbot competitor to challenge ChatGPT, Claude, and Gemini. They ended up failing, but a special deal with Microsoft helped the staff and investors at least make some of their money back. I reckon those guys did all right. Even if that falls through and they lose some money and experience lower returns on capital over the next few years, well, they're already rich and diversified, so I'm sure that they can deal with it. The people I do feel for are those working for the AI startups that will fail in the coming days, relatively ordinary folks with families and mouths to feed. One of the hardest things about the end of the streaming content bubble has been reckoning with the fallout of its ending. Hundreds of people in the film industry, particularly in Los Angeles, who did not get rich during the boom days and now are left in the lurch after the bust. I don't have any advice to give these startups except maybe to manage their money prudently. Never forget that employees are counting on you. Extend the runway for as long as possible and focus on building applications and lasting revenue streams. Do it as soon as you can. I am not sure how long this moment will last. So today we find ourselves in the midst of an AI boom. As far as I can tell, I like it. I think we need a little exuberance of capital in our lives. It will help us evaluate potential new businesses, putting their gumption to the market test. For example, money flowing into the prosumer-oriented chatbot space gave us things like Anthropic's Claude and Inflection's Pi. One succeeded, the other did not. After that, money has smoothly shifted into other parts of the market. Take, for instance, a small surge into vector embedding models earlier this year. And now we have the charge into AI agents. If that does not work, then the flows will reroute again, maybe to robotics. All these companies then develop products and try to gain traction. A lot will fall by the wayside. That is how life is. But a few things will stick, and those that do, I think, will change the world. Alright everyone, that's it for tonight. Thanks for watching. Subscribe to the channel, sign up for the Patreon, and I'll see you guys next time.